Yo, peace. It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and welcome to Strictly for the Brothers. You know, brothers, man, I've been thinking about this one, family. And I've been thinking about this one from the area of, like, you know, some things ain't your business. You know what I'm saying? Like, some things ain't your business. You know, some things ain't got nothing to do with you. You might not like what's happening or what a person is doing, but at the end of the day, it ain't your business. You know, it's just some things ain't your business, right? You know, today, brothers, I want to talk about white women. And I don't even really want to talk about white women, but I want to talk about white women, you know, but I want to talk about white women from our viewpoint. You know, I'm not about to sit up here and talk about white women, but I'm about to talk about white women from our viewpoint. You feel me? You know, and then, you know, you look at, like, I don't know if anybody else peeped this, but the other night I was watching the Golden State Warriors game, right? And that boy Steph had hit a crazy shot, and the cameras went to his dad. And I'm happy for Dale Curry. You know what I'm saying? Dale Curry, man, Dale Curry was a good basketball player, man. He never really got into it. He just hit that three. You know what I'm saying? And he got two sons in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So the cameras had went to Dale Curry. He was celebrating his son's shot. And then he went back and he was standing next to this lady. And he put his arm around her. And it was a white woman. And it was a white woman. And I was like, and I looked at it and I was like, wow. All right. But that ain't my business. That ain't my business that Dale Curry got a white woman on his arm. That ain't my business. But it's in front of me. You know, I guess because it's in public, because the TV showed it. You know what I'm saying? And why is that? And I'm going to say this, man. You know what I'm saying? And she wasn't the prettiest either. You know, she wasn't a good looking woman. Hell, if she was black, blue, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she just wasn't a good looking woman. You know, can't be talking about the white woman thing. I'd be like, man, what she look like, homie? You know, what she look like, homie? Nigga, if you got an ugly black woman on your arm, I'm looking at you crazy. Right on, brothers? You know, we can sit up here and act like we don't judge each other, but that's okay, y'all. You know, when you see a brother, you know, he got his woman with him. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy for the brother that got a nice looking woman on his arm. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the brother that got a nice, shapely, pretty woman on his arm. Right on, brother. You know, I make sure I make eye contact with that brother and I give him the right on what's up head nod. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but man, you know, I wasn't really tripping that Derek Curry had a white woman. She just wasn't cute. She wasn't good looking. And I know, man, you know, you got that type of guap. I mean, damn. You know. But it ain't my business. You know, brothers, the world always got something to say to us. The world always got an opinion about us. You know, it don't matter. It could be from how we dress, how we carry ourselves. And now the world even want to tell us about what type of woman that we supposed to have on our arm. You know, it is an interesting life, the life of a black man, ain't it, y'all? We have a very interesting life as black men. You know what I'm saying? When you look at society, man, there's how they address us as black men. You know, we are we are looked upon from so many different angles, right? You have people who are afraid of us strictly because we're black males. And the reason they're afraid of us because we're black males is because how black males are presented to us. You know, I was on the internet the other day. Matter of fact, I was on Facebook. And they got this spades game. And I love spades. And I'm quite sure a few of us have games on our phones, what have you. And it's called Gangsta Spades. In Gangsta Spades, the imagery is this black dude with a bandana on his head, gold rings on his finger, gold chains on, gold teeth in his mouth. I mean, just gangster. I mean, in every black dude that I saw associated with this card game, Gangsta Spades, was a thug. Every brother was a thug. Every image on that card game that was the image of a black male was a thug. As a black male, I'm offended by that. But we live in a society that sees us portrayed as thugs. You know, we live in a society where black males are don't nobody do worse than a black male in school. That's crazy as hell. But I'm sitting up here looking at articles about how young black males are achieving all across this country academically. Never highlighted. But I'm not sitting here crying and foaming at the mouth because it ain't highlighted. Obviously, it's highlighted if I read about it. But we as black males, man, you know, we have to begin to build our own perception. You know, I think it's more important, just like I give my head nod to the brother that has a pretty woman on his arm. You know, I give my head nod to every brother I see. You know, we got to start rocking with each other a little bit harder and tougher, family. And then what we got to realize is black males, what's our business and what is not our business? You know what I'm saying? Brother, you are my business now. Black man, you are my business. Black boy, you are my business. Because we are together. And I recognize that we live in a society that undervalues the brothers. But I could care less. It ain't my business how society views me. I need to be aware of that. I need to prepare for that. And I need to look to defeat that. I need to know that it's real, but it ain't my business. I'm not going to over-concern myself with it. Listen to what I said now. I'm not going to over-concern myself with it. I'm going to make myself aware for it. I'm going to make it part of my preparation. But I'm not going to give it all this energy, and I'm not going to be foaming at the mouth, and I'm not going to be rallying and angry about it. You know, I'm not going to let it get the best of me. I'm going to let it motivate me. I'm going to use that energy to help me to be more disciplined and dedicated to my dreams. And, you know, it's about how you react to things, brothers. You know, when things are brought to us as men, things that we have to overcome, when challenges come our way, brothers, we have to have a way that we deal with challenges. We have to develop that. We really have to develop that. We really have to develop that. We really have to develop that. That has to become important for us to be structured in our approach about how we're going to move through life. You know, we got to be focused, man. We got to be focused. We got to be focused. You know. And we got to have some direction, and we got to have a path, man. And we got to be on that path, man. And we got to dedicate and devote ourselves to that path each and every day of our lives, family. And what I know is the higher you climb in life, you find yourself in certain situations and circumstances. You know, a lot of people are upset with professional athletes. A lot of people say professional athletes, they get up there, they talk about professional and successful black men. And they be talking about how successful black men always find them a white woman. You ever heard that? People always talk about how the brothers always, always, always has a white woman on his arm. And you know, and the sisters be out here on the war cry about it, man. Don't they, man? I mean, the sisters be out here like, you know, frustrated and angry. And, you know, you be like, okay, you know, and, you know, the sister frustrated and angry because she like, man, you my man. You know, why you not rocking with me? I'll say this to you, family. I'll say this to you. If you've never been on certain levels, you don't know what certain levels look like, right? I've been fortunate to be on some levels, man. You know, I made it to the NFL, so I know what that level looked like, you know. And I tell you, man, that process within the NFL and the how they prepare you and talk to you about people in your neighborhood and where you from, you know, they present it to you like you are a mark, like people are going to be targeting you and you have to be careful. And, you know, they make it seem like your friend's going to be asking you for money and everybody that see you going to want something from you. So that's how they make you feel about where you from and the people that you grew up with and how your family going to act and this, that, and the third. But when it comes to the accountant that they hook you up with, that's their homeboy. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody want to make dollar off a professional athlete, off a successful individual in that world. Everybody. So the NFL is telling you to be scared of your people and to be scared of your family. But then they pointing you in the direction of their friends, their lawyer friends, their agent friends, this marketing rep, right? Everybody want to get in your pockets, but they telling you that the people that you came up with, you need to get away from them, right? And so then they got you scared to be around your own people. Right. So then you hesitate to be around your own people. So then you hanging out with them because if you listening to somebody to the point where you change who you talk to and you change where you go. Right. If you willing to follow them out of your own world, that mean they going to walk you into their world. So if they walk you into their world, they already got things in place for they want that they want to introduce you to. They always introducing you to somebody. Right. So if you walking into somebody else's world, and for the most part, that's going to be a white man now, especially on that level. We already know there's no brothers in ownership in the NFL. We already know there's no brothers for the most part in executive positions in the NFL. So if it ain't no brothers in those decision-making areas, who do you think those individuals are going to put in place to impact you? They sure ain't gonna put somebody in your face that look like you because they know you used to being in the world that don't look like you. So they don't have to cater to you in that way. You look at a brother like Tiger Woods, right? You look at a brother like Tiger Woods. You look at this brother. This dude married a white woman, right? And everybody was just so offended. You know, the sisters were smacking the wall and, you know, pulling out their picket sign. You understand what I'm saying? And you like, man, Earl, his dad was a brother. You know what I'm saying? And so, but Earl would be off the chain. Him and his homies, you know, they'd be out on the golf course, you know, supposed to be training these women to play golf, mostly white women. And Earl and his boy, you know, they had a van, they had a camper. I mean, this is on the documentary. You can go see it. You know, Earl would be in front of his son. He'll be, you know, going in the van with these women and they seeing the van rocking. So Tiger bear witness to his father cheating on his mama, right? But going back to who Tiger married, you know who Tiger married? Tiger married a white woman who was the nanny of one of the golfers on the PGA Tour. Now, hold on, y'all. Like, y'all was running around here mad that he was marrying a white woman. And I feel you on that. I feel you on that. Don't get it twisted. But I was more offended that Tiger Woods married a nanny. But that ain't my business. But that's what bothered me the most. And he was led to that woman. He was led to that woman. Tiger Woods was in a world that he was surrounded by people that was making money off of him and trying to get his money to their friends. You know, those gentlemen were those golfers, the PGA Tour, they didn't get no big money until Tiger hit the scene, y'all. The money went through the roof because more people were attracted to golf. More people were buying golf supplies. More TV contracts was coming. So when Tiger came on the scene with all his greatness, family, he made everybody more money. Everybody, family. Everybody more money. So they wanted to keep Tiger within their ranks. Tiger separated himself from his father. Now, we can say he was mad about his dad tricking off and the type of dude Earl was. But at the end of the day, Tiger, Earl is the reason you're Tiger. Yeah, you know, yeah, his dad could have been wilding out, but he wasn't wilding out every time he hit that golf course because his son was just too great, family. He prepared that boy. And Tiger separated from him. Man, you can go all throughout history and look at our people, and look at our successful people, and we always get cut off from our people. We always get cut off. That all there's always a separation. I'll give you another example. You look at the Jackson Five. Everybody can say whatever they want to about Joe Jackson, homie. But I tell you what, ain't none of us had to grow up in Gary, Indiana. None of us. And this man was working in Gary, Indiana in the plant. You understand me? And he had a whole herd at the house. You understand me? And that man saw that talent. And he nurtured that talent. He put that talent together. He made them boys work. And each one of them owe that man. Each one of them owe that man. Each one of them. But tricking off on the mama, hurt the mama. You hurt the kids. The kids get angry. You know, next thing you know, Berry Gordy got him separating from his daddy. And here we go. You understand me? We always cut ourselves off. So then when we follow that white man over into his world, you think he going to have black women for us waiting on us? No, he ain't going to have no black women waiting on us. He going to have his woman waiting on us. Because he's walking us away from our world into his world. Brothers and sisters, excuse me, brothers, you have to be introduced to a white woman. Don't you? Now, you know, I'm growing up here in the South, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, strangely, you interact, you know, man, white and black people live in the same neighborhood in the South. You know, it's incredible to me because I'm from the South Side of Chicago. And homeboy, it ain't no more segregated city in the country than Chicago. Everybody got their section and everybody know what their section is. And that's real talk. But in the South, you know, man, you know. You know, one a family friend's son, his first girlfriend was a white woman. You know, went to high school with him and went to high school with him. You know, a lot of the brothers here that go to these mixed schools, you know, the football players, they got white women. For the most part, I ain't gonna say all the brothers, but like my man, my shorty I'm talking about right here, he had a white girlfriend. You know, what is it? What is it? And then the brothers, you know, we be like, then we start blaming the sisters. You know, you remember Dennis Rodman? Dennis Rodman said he didn't date black women because they always called him ugly. But Dennis, I've seen pictures of you at that age, bro. You was ugly. You know, have y'all seen a picture of Dennis Rodman when he was in college? Dennis Rodman wasn't nothing to smile at. You know, he want to be offended that the sisters was telling him the truth. Dennis, you was not cute, man. You know, and so he walking around angry because the sisters was mistreating him. And y'all know what game this is. We brothers and we black, y'all. We crack jokes and we can be mean sometimes, you know. I had some jokes cracked on me in grammar school. That didn't make me want to pull away from the sisters. You know, Dennis Rodman was not attractive. Dennis Rodman wasn't attractive when he got the money. So you know he wasn't attractive when he ain't had no money. You know, but he foaming at the mouth and he's saying, well, forget it. I'm going to get over here with these white women. Okay. Brothers, don't feel like you ain't got a right to do things the way you want to do things. I'm going to say that. It ain't my business. The woman you date. It ain't the world's business, the woman you date. That ain't nobody's business, you know? You know? But let's don't keep saying stuff like, hey, man, you don't control who you fall in love with. I don't know, y'all. I don't know about that type of stuff. You know, let's stop saying that. You know, you do control who you get down with. You can love somebody and not be with them. If you can do that, you for damn sure can control who you love. Now, you can love somebody, no doubt about it, but that don't mean you with them. You can be heavily attracted to somebody, and they'll never know. You'll never tell them. You know, that's very possible, too. You do control who you love. So it's a lot of brothers in relationships. It's a lot of women in relationships that are in that relationship, not so much because they love this cat so much, but being in that relationship is to their advantage. You know, you might be madly in love with somebody that pressed on hard times, you know, and they didn't graduate from college. And, you know, it's real in the street out here. And, you know, if you be with them, y'all will be in love, but y'all will be in the hood. And, you know, this other cat, you know, You know, she got this going on for her. He got, you know, it's a business decision too sometimes. It's a business decision sometimes. It's a business decision sometimes. You know, you like them, you might not love them as much as the other person, but you're going to be happier. You're going to have more success. I know cats don't want to hear it like this because, you know, some of y'all in this situation right now. You love somebody else. You in like with the person you with. You tolerate them. You feel like you got more success, more opportunity. You know? I mean, what's important? What's more important? That's the question you gotta ask. What's more important? Is love the most important thing? Is greatness the most important thing? Is success the most important thing? Is sex the most important thing? Is getting money the most important thing? Is peace in your home the most important thing? You know, what's important? You know, that's what you got to ask yourself. That's what you got to realize. So, you know, because that's your business, the person you with. But family, when you start looking at the professional athlete, the entertainer, and things like that, brothers, for the most part, man, those are white men worlds. You know, I know we swagged out right now looking at ourselves like we got more footprint in the entertainment business. We got a few more black agents out here and things like that. But for the most part, brothers, the individuals we've been looking at our the majority of our lives, the athletes that we seen coming up and the entertainers that we seen coming up. And the reason I'm being so specific about them, because they that's where you see the brothers at with the white women. Right? So, you know, these brothers that been these entertainers and athletes and movie stars and rappers and things like that, you know, for the most part, man, they've been in white men worlds. They've been in white men worlds. They've been in worlds with white men where that world, they tell you to turn your back on your world. They make it seem like you're going to be a target in your world, like you're not a target in their world. Matter of fact, they targeting you more than the brothers and the sisters going to be targeting you because that white man wants your money. That white man that own Nike wants your money. That white man that own Reebok wants your money. They want to control you. They want you to feel a certain type of way. So you're going to follow them because they got the money. And then you're going to follow them into their world. And do you believe that they got black women in their world waiting on you? No. Just look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods followed a white man into his world and ended up marrying a white man's nanny. Now, if everybody cool with that, praise God. But I looked at that. It's not my business. But I looked at that like, Tiger, that was a poor decision, G. Now that he done made a nanny, G, somebody that was watching another white man's child. He done made this woman a multi-million-dollar, and the men that she get with and the children that they have that are mostly gonna be white, those children are gonna eat off Tiger money. That money that Tiger earned and swung that club for is gonna build another man's family for generations to come. Because he followed a white man into his world and ended up marrying a nanny. And then everybody turned their back on him when he got caught tricking off. And she acting like she was the most offended cat in the world, chasing the man out of the house, busting the car with the golf club. And I'm like, man, Tiger, she ain't swung a club. What you running from a foe? She ain't been out on the golf course. What you running from a foe? You didn't change her life. What you running from a foe, Tiger? And she busting windows and tearing up the crib, man. Tiger, you 6 feet. She's smart, man. You better pull your paws up, homie. You know, what is the man? I mean, this man, Tiger Woods, was running from his wife. She swung the golf club. He talking about he ain't want to press charges. She was trying to kill that man. This little woman, I don't care what color she is, this little woman. Who this man and changed her life and put her in a position of prosperity and richness and affluency. And this woman trying to kill him and he running. You know? He running from her. She couldn't wait to divorce that man. And they couldn't wait to turn their back on Tiger Woods. I'm talking about Tiger Woods, who made these men millionaires, multimillionaires. The golf industry owes Tiger. Tiger should make money off everybody. Tiger took golf to the next level, homie. A black man. A black man did that. And what Tiger didn't realize, and what a lot of brothers don't realize when it comes to our success, family, everybody wants something from the black man. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Brothers, we catch it on each end of the scale, family. They tell us we this, that, and the third on the negative side of things. And then they tell us, then when we on the positive side of the thing, hey, man, ain't nothing like it. You know, I read something the other day, and I'm going to ask you this question. It's food for thought. It's food for thought, family. It said there is no black man, no successful black man who didn't get approval from a white man to have success. They talking about as far as having success throughout society. There is no black man. So they talking about on that level, y'all. They talking about on that level. You know, they talking about, you know, it, the black man that's in it's in the public eye. The entertainers, hell, the politicians, any black man that you see in the public eye, they say no black man gets to make it to certain levels without the permission of a white man. How you feel about that, family? You know, as brothers, you know, you want to beat your chest and ain't nobody trying to hear all that. But when you look at it, family, ain't that tough, man. I'm talking about when you sit back and you look at it, family. Ain't that tough? Ain't that a tough statement? There is no successful black man in the public eye. There's no, each black man that we see in the public eye that has success had to get approved by a white man to have that type of success. How you feel about that statement, brothers? How you feel about that? I don't know. I don't know. Like I look at a cat like Marshawn Lynch. I like Lynch, man. I like Marshawn. I like Marshawn because I know Marshawn was a hella fad teammate. I know Marshawn Lynch was a hella fad teammate. You understand me? I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact. I know he a hella fad teammate. And how do I know that? I know that based on how his teammates react to him. See, if you're a ball player, I don't care what level, I don't care what sport, you know when you like a cat and you know when other cats like a cat. You feel me? It's how they celebrate him. It's how they celebrate him. That's how you know a cat is loved by his teammates. You know what I'm saying? Marshawn Lynch don't seem like he had to get anybody's permission, right? But when you think about it, Marshawn Lynch had to make the team, right? He could have got cut for any types of reason, right? Marshawn Lynch had to go get them contracts, right? He could have been denied contracts at certain organizations. Marshawn Lynch, everybody remember Marshawn Lynch when he played for the Seattle Seahawks, but the Buffalo Bills drafted Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was in Buffalo for at least 3-4 years. He was having some issues and some challenges out there in Buffalo, and then they sent him to Seattle and the game changed for him. You understand? But Marshawn Lynch, I remember, you remember the Super Bowl, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Every time he got asked a question, I'm just here so I don't get fined. You know, that's not a dude that's cooperating with the system. Right then on the biggest stage in sports, I'm just here so I don't get fined. You know, they said that's one of the reasons why the Seahawks didn't hand the ball off. Instead, they wanted Russell Wilson to be the hero because they didn't want Marshawn Lynch to be the hero because they know Marshawn Lynch is not controllable. Now, I don't know about the play call, but I'll tell you this. You give me 4 downs at the 1-yard line and I got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, partner, he getting the ball all 4 times because I'm willing to bet my money that ain't nobody going to stop Marshawn Lynch from getting in the end zone 4 times from the 1-yard line, family. And I'm speaking straight football right there, G. It ain't no way in the world. I mean, nowhere in the world that somebody's going to stop Marshawn Lynch 4 times from the 1 yard line from getting in the end zone. I think any cat that play football, you know, cats will be like, well, you never know the defense and da 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 da. Yeah, praise God. But I'm talking about Marshawn Lynch. I'm talking about beast mode, G. But beast mode don't seem to me that he's controllable. But beast mode had to abide by those rules. Beast mode had to make sure he was on time. Beast mode had to stay out of off the police radar. So when he was able to do those things, he was able to receive the things he deserved to receive. See, brothers, Marshawn Lynch, ain't nobody going to call Marshawn Lynch no coon. Ain't nobody going to call Marshawn Lynch no sellout. Nobody. Nobody. And we don't even know Marshawn Lynch. But based on what we see from him, that ain't no coon. That ain't no sellout. That ain't no punk dude. We all know that, right? But Marshawn Lynch had to pay a price for that. Marshawn Lynch kept it 100. So I'm bringing up Marshawn Lynch to show you that in your way, shape, fashion, or form, brothers, you have a right to be you. But you still have to abide by the rules. You still got to do right. But you also got to understand that you can be who you are regardless of whatever world you are in. See, Marshawn Lynch didn't cut himself off from the world, from his world. He kept it hood. He kept it real. He didn't forget about the shorties, where the neighborhood he come from. He stayed connected. He didn't believe what that world was trying to tell him about his world. He wasn't so fast to run away from his people. That's why Marshawn Lynch could stay grounded. That's why Marshawn Lynch can say, I don't want to play this media game. I don't want to go to no press conference. And they like, Marshawn, you a starter. You got to go to the press conference. So Marshawn Lynch didn't dance. He said, look, man, I'm going to go to this press conference, but I'm not playing that game. So what do I need to do? I need to be there. He had to be there for a certain amount of time. And he said, and he had to answer questions. So he decided to answer questions with the truth. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. He gave what the system required of him. He was there. He was on time. He was at his press conference. But he stood up on who he was based on the fact he didn't want to play the media game. He was never in front of the camera on that media stuff. He in front of the camera now. But when you see Marshawn Lynch, you raise an eyebrow because he's doing something very selective. Marshawn Lynch ain't playing the game. He doing what he want to do the way he want to do it. Let that be an example to us. And I don't see no white woman on Marshawn Lynch, huh? Because he didn't follow that white man into that white world. Marshawn Lynch went in and got out. And even when he went in, he was still himself. So he understood what he wanted. He understood what he liked. He understood what he didn't like. And brothers, we have to understand in life, we're going to have to walk into other people's worlds to have success. And that's only going to change when we begin to own our own thing. And that's coming, brothers. But right now, we don't have that. So right now, we have to navigate and walk into that white man's world. We do. Because that's where our jobs are at. Yeah. Right now, you working on starting your own thing. Praise God. But you don't have that right now. So you got to work for somebody else. Yeah, you do. And I'm not saying every company is owned by a white man. That's not what I'm saying. But when you out here in this world navigating, man, you're going to have to walk into different worlds. But that don't mean that you have to scratch off your individuality as an individual, as a black man. You can still be who you are. Brothers, as long as you obey the rules and do what you're supposed to do and give a great effort and represent yourself and represent your family to the best of your ability, family, you're going to be good. In this society, you're going to be good. Now, brothers, we need to understand that, hey, man, it's real as hell. When I was in graduate school on the campus of Deerfield, Illinois, I dealt with a lot of racism. This was a divinity school, family. It was cats going here to become pastors and ministers. And I dealt with some racism. I ain't saying every time I walked in the room, it was a Klans meeting. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, it was racism on that campus, a campus that was supposed to be foundation of God, supposed to have the foundation of God. It was the Evangelical Divinity School. Hell, I thought I was going to be a pastor, homie. You understand me? I dealt with racism on that campus. So, brothers, that racism is a part of this society. And ain't nobody in the room foaming at the mouth and crying, talking about hug me. No, But as a black man, a successful black man that's in pursuit of greatness, you need to understand what's going on in society around you and how you're viewed so you can be prepared. There is nobody that goes to war with a lack of preparation. And if they do, they die fast. You got to be prepared for your battles, family. You got to understand your enemy and what's going on around here. Black man, the worst thing that we can do is navigate through this society naive. That's the worst thing you can do. That'd be unjust to yourself, family. That you do not have to be naive. You understand? So, brothers, be encouraged. Be encouraged that you can be who you are. You can be who you are. Brothers, you can also have on your arm whoever you want to have on your arm. Just make sure she's attractive. And also, brothers, stay true to who you are, family. Stay true to your neighborhood. Stay true to your people. And when I say your people, I'm talking about the people that help you get to where you at, family. And if you're a black man out here, family, let me just say this to you, family. Let me just say this to you. You owe the shorties, man. You owe these black children. You owe these black children, black men. We owe these black children. We owe these black children, family. We owe these black children. Black men, we are the muscle of our community. We are the strength of our community. And it is our duty to build the future, family. And we do not have to continue building a culture where murder is acceptable, family. We do not have to continue to build a culture where low academic performance is acceptable, family. We do not have to continue to build. It is our responsibility to change the direction of our children's future. And I ain't just talking about your child, brother. I'm talking about black children. Now, I can't tell you about what the color your woman should be. I can't get in your face about that and demand that because that ain't my business. But what I can demand and I can point out and I can speak to and I can challenge you on is giving back to these black children. I can't get in your face about the white woman thing. You know, because just because she a white woman, that don't mean she can't have your back. But I sure enough want to know where you met her at. Because black man, you have to be introduced to a white woman. Do you understand me? You have to be introduced to a white woman. So where did you meet her at and who introduced you? You understand me? So brothers, I just want us to be true to who we are and where we from and to the people that helped us get there. And we cannot let somebody and their world dictate to us how we need to have our world. Because if the person has not helped you get to that point, they have not helped you build your world. And your commitment and your honor and your loyalty needs to be to those that helped you climb that mountain called life. And to get to a point of success, you have to stay true and give back to those that helped you achieve your goals, family. And brothers, you might be at a certain level right now, but family, you had work to do and somebody had to help you get there. Somebody had to take you to practice. Somebody had to buy your clothes. Somebody had to make sure your bed was made up. Somebody cooked your food, family. Somebody held you accountable, family. We do not make it by ourselves, brothers. We don't. And we owe people. And we should want to give back, brothers. So once again, when it comes to the color of the woman that is on your arm, that is not my business. But I will ask you to ask yourself, how did you meet that woman? Who introduced you to that woman? And brothers, in that, you will find that ain't nobody business, family. All I ask is that you maintain your commitment, your honor, and your loyalty to those that helped you make it to a level where people introducing you to white women. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army, and thank you for listening strictly for the brothers. Peace. What up, Chicago?